Okay, good morning. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's so good to be here this morning, to be with you this way through the screen, but sensing we're together this morning. I'm so excited about my faith, about being a believer during this time, and I hope you are also. So welcome to the house of the Lord. You may be at home, but you're still drawing near to the house of the Lord in this strange season. And as Christians, we do what we can to make adjustments as believers. I know that when my children were told that they were going to be doing school from home, that they were going to be sent home, they had the mentality a little bit that, oh, there's no school. Woo, school is done. Woohoo! And we kind of had to help them change their mindset and realize, no, you do have school, but now it's school from home. And it's the same for us as Christians. We do have church. We make the adjustments that we need to, but we do have church, and we do it differently, but nevertheless, here we are, and this is the mindset that we adopt together, that we are joining our hearts together as a local church family, and also across the globe. So we need to have our hearts guarded in this time. It's so easy to become complacent, to be casual or relaxed, or not being careful about our disciplines, about our faith as believers. But perhaps more than ever, we need to have a battle plan. We need to have a schedule. We need to have spiritual disciplines. And we need to draw near. I know that someone said to me recently, I missed it on Sunday. And I understand we have different things happening, but also, hey, we're on lockdown. We're at home. And it's Sunday morning. And all the more opportunity and purpose that we join together as we are this morning and hearing what God is saying to the church. Amen? Hearing what God is saying, tuning in, letting God have a voice in my life. I need it always, and especially during a time like this. So it's crucial to be in the Word. It's so crucial to be gathered together in the faith and meet with God. And in fact, that's what our sermon is this morning. It's about meeting with God. Maybe at this time, if you are tuned in with us, if you're on Facebook, maybe we could ask you at this moment, if you click the share button on your Facebook page, it will share this live stream onto your profile. This is an amazing opportunity and an incredible way for us to use technology in this strange season that we're in as a tool to get the word out to people. So if you just click that share button, we may get some more listeners. If you haven't done already, we'd really ask you to like our Facebook page, not just in your heart, but with the button. Also, there's an opportunity to review the page at the top. If you hit review, and then you can write a few lines about the messages, or if you visited our church, about the church. And then lastly, if you haven't subscribed already to our YouTube channel, please go to studytheword.co.uk and subscribe. These are all ways in this technological age that we can have a ministry together through the Word, locally and around the world. So God bless you for that. So turn with me, if you will, in your Bible to Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at the incredible story of how Moses had an encounter with God, how God used the burning bush to get Moses' attention. So let's read. I'll read and follow with me if you have your Bibles. Exodus, I won't ask you to stand for the reading. You can stay just where you are, but follow with me in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And then he said, Do not draw near to this place. Take off your sandals, off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we are so thankful to be in your house this morning, that we are gathered by faith, that we put everything aside. We are unplugged, we are focused, we are looking to you. Oh, I ask this for from the youngest one who is looking this morning to the oldest one, for each one of us, please draw our hearts. By your Spirit, give us a focused attention, that we would hear from you, that we would meet you personally this morning, that you would instruct us in the way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is an incredible encounter with God from with Moses. And if we look at Stephen's account, remember Stephen when he preached in Acts chapter 7, Stephen does a condensed version of the history, and he covers this story. And this is what he says in Acts 7:23. We'll be in Acts 7, and then we'll go back to Exodus 3. He says, when he, Moses, was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. In Exodus 2:11, it says that the Egyptian was actually beating one of the Israelites. He was just beating him and beating him. And Moses saw it. It was one of his brethren, one of his fellow Hebrews. Verse 12 of Exodus 2 says, he looked this way and he looked that way. And when he saw that no one was looking, he killed the Egyptian and he hid him in the sand. He looked this way and he looked this way. But he didn't look this way. It doesn't seem that Moses prayed or heard from God or was being instructed by God. It seems that this was impulsive in the moment. But we read that, we look at the next verse, verse 25. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. This is a very curious phrase. It's a very insightful point that Stephen makes, that when Moses was 40, he already understood that he would be the deliverer. Now, we don't have any account of God meeting him or speaking to him, but somehow this was in Moses' heart. It makes me think of Nehemiah when he came to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. It says he didn't tell anyone what God had put in his heart. And God does that in accordance to his calling on people's lives. He can put things in people's hearts. And this was in Moses' heart, that he understood that he would be the one to lead out his fellow Jews from Egypt to the promised land. He was believing the promise. He was believing God even when he was 40 years old. It wasn't a new idea when he came to the burning bush 40 years later when he was 80. It was in his heart from before that. He had supposed his brethren would understand, but they did not understand. So Moses, it seems as though this wasn't God's timing. This was a little bit premature, that Moses took things into his own hands. Maybe he was self-righteous. He was ready to do this by his own strength, by his own natural way. Perhaps he was self-righteous or angry or proud. It doesn't seem it was God's timing yet, for three different reasons. It wasn't God's timing for Moses. it seems that God still had to work in Moses' own heart. Numbers 12:3 will tell us that Moses became the meekest man on the earth. Perhaps he wasn't at that place just quite yet. He needed an extended time of preparation. It also wasn't the time because the people weren't ready. The people weren't ready to accept Moses as their leader, and also they were not crying out to God for deliverance yet. And then lastly, the Amorites or the Canaanites were not ready in the land. For Genesis 15:16 says, the cup of the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. So in God's timetable, he was to use Israel as an instrument of judgment on those Canaanites, and the timing wasn't ready. But in 40 years from that point, it would be ready. Moses would be ready, the people would be ready, the Amorites would be ready. Let's continue in Acts 7:26. And the next day, he, Moses, appeared to two of the Hebrews as they were fighting. And he reconciled and said, "Oh men, your brethren, why are you doing this wrong to one another?" And the one who did the wrong to his neighbor pushed him away and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?" And then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. Moses thought that the people would understand, but they did not. He murdered the Egyptian, he buried him in the sand, and now he realized it was known. He had fear and guilt, and he fled into the desert, into the wilderness. And then we know that 40 years passed by. Incredible. Let's go back now to Exodus chapter 3, in verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert. So it's a steep slide from the palace of Pharaoh in Egypt to the back parts of the desert and the wilderness. Shepherding the flock, it says. And what's interesting is Genesis 46:34 says, "For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians." Why is that significant? Because Moses had been raised as an Egyptian in the courts of Pharaoh, in the ways of Egypt. He was trained. He had the understanding, the knowledge. He understood the culture and the ways of Egypt. And what was an abomination to the Egyptian? The shepherd. And this is what had happened to Moses. Oh, he had come all the way down from the palace to the desert, and he was shepherding sheep. We could imagine that Moses was at the lowest of the low. Years pass. And perhaps he's trying to deal with it in his own heart and mind. He's looking back and thinking, rethinking, "Oh, I thought I was the deliverer who had brought the people out, but oh no, I murdered a man. I didn't trust God, and now I'm disqualified," or whatever the thoughts that go through his mind. Perhaps condemned, perhaps lonely, disillusioned. Just walking through the desert, just kicking the can. Oh, what happened? What might have been? 40 years pass. We know how he's feeling because one of his sons, he names him Gershom in Exodus 2:22. And Gershom means, "I have been a stranger in a foreign land." The name comes from the idea of to be banished or to be a stranger. This is how Moses was feeling. "Oh, I've been banished. I'm a stranger. I'm at the lowest of the low. I'm a shepherd. I've been disqualified. Perhaps it's all over." But Moses was to learn some important lessons during this time. We understand now, as we see the story from the beginning to the end, that this was a preparatory time in Moses' life. Perhaps at the end of his life, he could look back and see that also. But when we're in the season, when we're in the wilderness, it's not so easy to see that. But nothing is wasted with God. In your life, as you look back, nothing is wasted, but God uses the material. just like Ezra and the remnant, when they returned to Jerusalem, they used the material of the broken down walls, the broken down temple to rebuild. And God does that in our lives also. God was preparing Moses. It said that God will sharpen an instrument before he puts it to use. Interestingly enough, Moses' life is broken down into three 40s. He was 120 when he died. And in the first 40, he was learning the ways of Egypt as the prince of Egypt. The second 40, he was in the wilderness, in the desert as a shepherd. And the third 40, he was leading God's people out by faith through the wilderness. It has been said the first 40, he learned, I am something. The second 40, he learned, I am nothing. And the third 40, he will learn, God is everything. So we look back here in verse 1, it says, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And Horeb means desolate place. Again, just adding to the framework of where Moses was at this point, the shepherd in a desert place, in the desolate place, far removed, a stranger in the land. And God was to meet him here. He's with his sheep. In the desert. Oh, we get the picture. The stage is set. Are you ready? God is going to meet him. He's going to come and have an encounter with the living God. It will be a major turning point in Moses' life. That God is about to speak into Moses' life. It's incredible. Verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked and beheld the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. The bush was burning, but it did not burn out. There are times when God wants to get our attention. For sure, such a time as this is like that. We are experiencing a pandemic. It has affected our lives, our societies, our world. And we know that this is something that God is allowing and using, and we're praying accordingly that God would use this in people's lives, in the lives of believers, to shake them up, to wake them up, to cause them to turn aside, to look to God, to seek him, that God would look for turning of hearts, for repentance, for faith. That God would use this time to draw those that are not Christians, that do not know him, to seek him, to turn aside and have a question, and that they would meet God. This is how we're praying. As believers, we sense that God is doing something, and we are not. We want to be very in tune with that. We understand that God is not divorced from the events of history, that there are some things that he purposes at the direct act of his hand. There are other things that he allows to naturally take their course. But nevertheless, it's woven into his will and his purpose. In such a time as this, we see that with clarity. We believe that by faith. So, Moses said in verse 3, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. He realizes this is unusual. I've never seen this before. I've seen scrubs burning in the desert, but oh, how quickly they burn up and there it's over. But this bush, perhaps an acacia like a bush or like a tree, there are many through the Sinai Desert. We've been there and seen them. And he says, this is burning, but it is not being consumed. It was unusual. And God wanted Moses to turn aside. God was using this to get Moses' attention because God wanted to meet him. God would speak to certain ones today, during this time, during this season, perhaps even during this message. How easy it is for us to get a little bit dusty, a little bit familiar and nominal in our lives. Before this pandemic struck the world, our lives were normal. We were going day to day. We were clocking in and clocking out. We had our lives and our work and our church and our traveling and our walking and all of a sudden everything grinds to a halt. Who could have ever imagined that that would happen? Maybe God wants to get the attention of people. We have a tendency towards the natural, to the earthly, to idolatry. We were made to worship something, and how easy it is that we get caught up in life and we get distracted and focused on the things that are temporal, that are natural, that are earthly. And God would all have a burning bush over here, and he would want us to turn aside. He wants to get our attention so that we would refocus on the most important things. That God would say, I want you to draw near. I want you to refocus. Oh, in my grace, if I could strip this away and take this away, if I could help you hit the pause button and really contemplate and really consider what is the essence of life, what is your purpose, what is your calling, and that you would turn aside and that I would meet you. I heard many people who are saying, oh, I just waiting until things get back to normal. And when I hear that, I would caution them. I would say, well, maybe it's important that you don't miss this season. You're not just holding on and coasting until we get through this, but how important it is for us to say, no, wait, lift up your eyes and think and pray and ask God what is he doing in our world, in our nation, in our community, in our church, and in your life. What is God looking to say? What is God doing? Don't miss the time. Now is a season that is a time for us to meet with God. Don't miss what God wants to say, what God wants to do in your life. But be asking him, seeking him, Lord, what would you teach me? What would you show me? Would you highlight certain things in my life? Help me with my priorities, with my faith, with my direction. I don't want to miss the most important things, for I believe in you. For you are God, and you have a calling on my life. And I understand my tendency is to be distracted, and I become idolatrous, and I lose sight, and I become natural, and my soul cleaves to the dust. But perhaps, Lord, you have set the stage at such a time like this, and the bush is burning over here, and oh, Lord, I sense it, that you are speaking, you are drawing. You have something to say. I really believe as Christians, when we come back after this time and the church begins to fill up again, we're not going to walk through these doors as wounded soldiers, dragging, limping. Oh, I just made it. No, we're going to come back saying, woo, I have been with the Lord. I was on Mount Horeb. I was in Arabia for 3 years. I was on the Isle of Patmos. I was in a quiet place with the Lord, and I opened my Bible every day. I have had a personal revival, for God met with me. God spoke to me. God revived my hearts, our hearts. And we say, oh, Lord, do that. Do that for us, and oh, he will. We used to live in Hungary, and we lived in this house in the countryside, and it had this big basement, a big basement garage, and there was so much space down there that jokingly a friend said, oh, can we store some things at your house? And I said, oh gosh, we got so much space, you could lose a couch down there. And we laughed, but actually it was true. There was so much space. And I thought oh, you know what? We could have lost an altar down there. And maybe that's like life. Life is a bit like a storage room or a basement. It's filled with, it's cluttered and it's filled with stuff. And we just put it down there. And before we know it, where's the altar? And we've lost the most important thing. And sometimes we need time to be able to go through the storage room and to clear it out. And we say, oh, there it is. And we bring it out. That which was lost in the clutter down in the basement, now we put it right in the center. We find our focus once again. Maybe there are people who are tuning in today and you are not sure you have those types of questions in your life. Maybe you've had certain experiences in Christianity and you're in a certain camp and you have that question, oh, what am I looking for? What is my purpose? What is it? It's not just an experience. It's not just learning about God. It's not just getting Bible knowledge. But it's meeting God. It's knowing God. It's walking with God. It's an encounter. It's a relationship. It's a revival. Not, I cannot live in just Sunday Christianity. I cannot live just floating around on the internet and listening here, a little there. I need to God to draw me and for me to find my place and for me to be committed and faithful and hearing the word. Teaching, preaching, expositional, learning the Bible, growing in my faith. For here I am on the earth and I'm in the dust. Oh, but I need to be connected with heaven. I need to walk with God. I need to turn aside again and again. I need to have a quiet place in my life. I need to be a believer that opens the Bible every day. And I say this with great grace and encouragement to you. If that's not part of your life, that's okay. But in this season, oh, find that. Go find the altar and bring it up and bring it out to the center. Say, you know what? Oh, by faith. Oh, Lord, I want to seek you every day. I want to open my Bible every day. I want to come down and grab my coffee and grab the Bible. And I just want to sit quietly. Is God speaking to you? Is God counseling you? Is God leading you? Does God have a voice in your life every day? Oh, let's come out of that this season with spiritual disciplines that we've discovered in our life, a spiritual revival that's taken place in our hearts and our lives. Let us not just be lost and unplugged and we're clicking through the TV and we're missing the most important thing. That we have an opportunity to meet God and get to know God. And of course, we live our life and we watch TV. That's not the point. The point is, don't lose the altar. Don't miss the most important thing. We need to meet God. Because if we don't, life becomes common. Life becomes natural. And God is something who is in our life, but it's on the sideline. And not in the center. I'm sorry, let's go back to Exodus chapter 3 in verse 4. But I'm just saying, let's move on. Go back to Exodus 3, verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Oh, God calls. God speaks. God is personal. He calls Moses by name. And Moses said, here I am, here I am. When Moses turned aside, and when God saw that he turned aside, God spoke to him. Someone might say, well, I'm not sure if God is speaking to me or ministering to me. And we would say, well, have you turned aside? Have you responded to his initiations? Then you will discover that God is a God who speaks. He doesn't perhaps speak audibly, but he speaks. He speaks to us with his still small voice, with impressions, with convictions of the Holy Spirit, with the presence or the absence of his peace in my life, with rhemas that come from the word, that God will speak, God will lead, God will guide, God will correct, God will edify, God will meet you. Here, God has Moses' full attention. Here I am, Lord, he says. God says, do not draw near to this place, but take off your sandals from your feet. The place where you stand is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. God says, do not come near this, his holy ground. Why was it holy ground? Because God was there. Because God was there. And taking off your shoes, this is an important principle for us, Of course, it's not speaking about our physical shoes, but it's symbolic of something that is happening in the heart. A reverence, a humility, a respect, a recognition that God is here. We understand that the shoes would speak of anything natural that would come between you and the presence of God. And I must learn to take that off. I must understand that indifference and pride and familiarity, oh, they are enemies to the Christian life. And if you sense that in your Christian life and in church, or even as you're listening now, you sense a little bit of indifference to God, oh, we need to take our shoes off. We need to take that off. We need to go to the cross. Lose that natural attitude and come to God in reverence and fear. And recognize that it is holy ground. It is not common, but it is holy because God is here. And we learn that, don't we? When we come to church in our hearts, we learn, we say, oh, this isn't just any place. This is God's place. This is holy ground because God is here. These are God's people. This is God's word. This is God's divine appointment in my life, that here I meet with him corporately with God's people. But it's possible that I keep my shoes on in his presence. There is something natural in my thinking, and I rob myself. I am the one who loses because I haven't learned to go to the cross and take my attitude and my flesh to the cross and be co-crucified with him. I haven't learned to take sides with God against myself, against my flesh, and take off the shoes and come into his presence and let him minister to me and instruct me. That is what is needed. But I recognize that this is holy ground. And just a few more minutes and we'll finish. But we remember when Jacob was in Bethel in Genesis 28. And Jacob has this unbelievable dream. He's out there alone in the wilderness under the stars at night. And he has this dream. And God reaffirms the covenant to him. He says, I am the God of your father, Abraham and Isaac. Oh, Jacob. And I promise you, I will, he says. He reaffirms the promise that in you and your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And I am with you and I will bring you back to this land. And then look at this, verse 16. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. Notice that. God was here and I did not know it. This reminds me of Samson in Judges 16:20. We see the opposite. For there it says that Samson awoke from his sleep when Delilah said, the Philistines are upon you. Samson woke from his sleep. He says, oh, I will go out before as other times. I will shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. One where God was there and he did not know it, and one where God was not there and he did not know it. They are both expressions of familiarity. God is there and I'm so familiar I don't realize it. God is not there and I'm so familiar that I don't realize it. But what is best is that God is here and I know it. For I have learned to turn aside, to take off my shoes, to give God my full attention. I've learned to go through the cross and respond to him and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. And that God will speak and instruct us. And Jacob says this in verse 17. Oh, how awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Where was he? He's in the wilderness, alone, in the desert place. And what does he say? This is none other than the gate of heaven. This is Bethel, which means the house of the Lord. Doesn't matter where you are. Oh, this is the gate of heaven. This is the house of the Lord. This is holy ground. Not because of the ground, not because of the place, but because God is there. Oh, don't lose sight. Don't lose sight of the house of the Lord, of the presence of God, of our need to draw near to him daily, for this book to be open in our lives, that we would hear his still small voice, that we'll be quickened again and again according to his word. Oh, let's turn aside often let's draw near to him. Let's take off our shoes. Let's hear his voice, because that changes everything. There is such a need in our life to meet with God. Whether it's wherever it is, we need to take pause and consider him. And then we say, oh, how awesome is this place? For God is here. This is holy ground. This is the living God who meets with me, and I meet with him, and he speaks to me, and that changes everything. Changes everything. So, Father, we pray together, each one of us, as we are listening this morning. Oh, we say that. How awesome is this place? Wherever your presence is manifested. Oh, we say, oh, this is holy ground. Let us not be familiar. And let us not wear our shoes. Let us draw near with faith and reverence and humility in our hearts. That you would speak to us again and again. That you would keep our hearts revived. That we wouldn't be sleeping in this season, but we would be awake, awake to you, and living in faith every day. We take a moment to pray. Perhaps there are some listening this morning. You are not sure of your salvation. You have connected with certain churches. Perhaps you're listening online. Perhaps you've read the Bible in part. Oh, but here is the gospel, that God loves you, that he sent his only son to die for you, that if you believe in him as your Savior, you can be saved and born again in a moment by his grace through faith. Say, Jesus, save me today. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Bless each one of us. Guide us, counsel us, lead us through this strange time in our life. Give us many opportunities personally and with those in lockdown with us, our families. Give us times of connections together in the faith, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you each one for listening. God bless you. We love to hear from you. By the way, we've had some texts and messages and emails from people who are listening around the globe, from the Philippines, from India, from Nepal, from Mexico, from Africa, from different places, and Myanmar, and different places. It's so great to hear from you. Please send us a note, and we'd love to stay connected, and we'll be praying for you and your lives and your walk with God. God bless you. Have an amazing day. In Jesus' name, amen.